Podcast, the Savior
has arrived.
Like, you have to take everything that the prophet came with, and it had to have been a complete system. Like, he can't just say, like, you know, I brought this complete perfect system, which is Islam, and he brought it for us, and God Almighty, you know, dispatched him with this mission, and then all of a sudden, it's such an important factor, he just leaves it unsolved, or like, you know, what are the people to do after he leaves? Like, how can he leave such a big stone unturned? Like, how can he do that if it's a complete system, and if he came with you know, completion of religion and all of those things that people love to say? Like, where's the practical explanation for not appointing somebody? Where is the wisdom there? You know, where's the knowledge? It kind of falls apart without that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a very important subject to look towards, the subject of the appointment of a khalifa, the appointment of a vicegerent of God.
Right.
People need a vicegerent of God to guide them, because he has knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed him with knowledge. So if people are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the medium is through the messenger, the prophet, the khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you can get to Allah. People think, the majority, unfortunately, that, oh, I can go directly to God and know God directly. Well, that's not really how it works.
No.
How it works is that God appoints khulafa, doors to him. You know,
Indeed. And it's so important that Fatima, peace be upon her, and Zainab, peace be upon her, they stood protecting this khalifa, this chosen one, to protect the successorship of God on his earth. Otherwise, why wouldn't have they, you know, gave allegiance to these khalifas? Why would they put their life at stake and their family's life at stake if it wasn't an obligatory thing, something that they must do, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got?
So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them towards an imprecation. And this is mentioned in the Holy Quran. I believe it's in Surah Al-Imran, verse 61. مَنْ حَاجَكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدَمَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ قُلْ تَعَالُوا نَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ وَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. The verse in verse 61 that says, whoever disputes you to the matter after what has come to you of knowledge, let us gather like our sons and your sons, your women and our women, and ourselves and yourselves, and then we shall imprecate, and we shall send, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the curse upon the liars. And the Prophet, in the event of Al-Mubahala, which was 10 on the year 10 after Hijrah, the Prophet gathered Fatima with her, with him, and he gathered Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, his sons. Now Fatima is Nisa'ana, his woman, the royal plural. And Hassan al-Hussein, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. And Fusana, his self, is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the interpreters, like, for example, I believe it's in Sahih Muslim, that this verse is tied to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him.
Right.
Ali, Fatima, al-Hassan, wal-Hussein. He gathered them, and the delegation of Najran, the Christians, they gave up. They couldn't continue, as what history dictates. It tells us that
they
backed off. They backed away and they surrendered. They couldn't continue because they know that these people, if their hands are lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will immediately answer them back.
Right.
Yeah, it's game over. Yeah, as you said.
Absolutely.
So this is the status of Fatima al-Zahra. That the reason why you know, I mentioned this, just to look at the status of Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, and how much weight this personality carries when we look at it from the standpoint of wanting to know the status, the rank of Fatima Zahra in terms of infallibility, and how she is one of the greatest personalities after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alongside Ali ibn Abi Talib. She was wedded to Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, who was a Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and her sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. Both of those are the, as what the Prophet said, Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, that they're the masters of the youths of paradise. So she contains merits, so much merits in her character, and also her sons have merits, and her husband has merits, and her own father has merits. So she's surrounded with people that have merit.
Absolutely, brother. And like, you know, these merits, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family never shied away from being vocal about these merits, about these personalities. He always made it very clear. So, you know, our appeal to everyone out there is to take that into account and then look at how these people that the Prophet was very vocal about were treated. How were they treated? Every single one of them. You know, once you go down that road with sincerity, it becomes very clear that these people with such high merits were treated so awfully that you wouldn't even treat your enemies like that. But we see history shows us how they were treated by certain individuals. So, you know, we urge people to do some research.
Podcast. The Savior. Podcast. The Savior has arrived.